Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. This is number 106. Summer 2019 has been amazing. Future Voice, sensational. It's been sensational. I've definitely been enjoying myself, getting around, definitely in vacation in a bit, hitting different spots, different beaches, things like that, you know, summer-esque things. And, you know, I just had a wedding, too. I was the best man at a wedding, so that was a huge event in my life. A lot of preparation for that, so you know, a whole bunch of different things been going on. It kind of kept me a little too busy to not be able to get on and do the show. And Lee's been doing his thing as well. You know, both really busy this summer, so we haven't been able to get on and do a show in a couple weeks. But it's all good. We're here now. I'm gonna break down a whole bunch of stuff tonight. There's a lot of stuff to cover, and the thing that we're going to do different in this one, that's going to be really cool, and I'm actually really looking forward to doing it, is, you know, usually you know us for our UFC talk, and we usually do a lot of UFC talk, but you know, that just happens to be one thing that both of us, that's a common interest of both of us that we tend to talk about a lot in the show. But tonight, though, we're gonna do it a lot differently and then on in a little bit. So, you know, we're going to really break it up tonight. I'm going to have a couple guests on the show, maybe one or two guests calling for the show and get some different topics rolling tonight. So we'll hear what other interests are out there, and we'll get it going. So Lee, you out there, bro?
Keys, what's going on, bro?
What up, brother? How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there, man. I can't complain.
Hey, me too. I was just telling the people that we haven't been on in a little bit. So, you know, this summer 2019 has had me living. So we've been away a little bit.
I told the people you were living your best life.
Yeah, man, I've been out there. I was just telling them. I've been vacationing a little bit, hitting the beaches a little bit, and a lot of summer-esque things. Best man in a wedding, so that really took up a lot of my time. Real, real busy, so it is what it is. We're here now. And we about to jump right
in, man.
You know.
All right, let's roll.
Yeah, we're not even gonna waste any time tonight. This is quality over quantity tonight. So let's get right into it. We have a special guest tonight. This is one of my absolute boys that I love to have on this show, man, because he has a show as well, and I just feel like, you know, he does his thing when he comes up here, and I really enjoy having him. So Rodney's in the building real quick. Rodney, you out here, bro? You hear me?
Yo, y'all hear me?
Hey, what up, brother?
What's good, y'all? Long time no see. The pop-up is here.
I knew he was going to say that. From that first time, he was like, nah, I'm not even a co-host. I'm just a pop-up. I was like, damn, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So,
what's going on, y'all?
What's cracking, Ronnie? How you doing, bro?
Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. What's going on with you, Lee?
Oh, man, I'm straight, man. I'm just doing my thing, you know, enjoying this summer.
That's all you can do. Oh, trust me, because mine about to end like a week and a half.
Oh, got to go back to school,
mean,
huh?
What
mm-hmm. What's that
what
getting,
you mean,
What do you mean it's about to end in a week and a half? You go back,
start
classes already?
Yep, on the 12th.
Damn.
I know. That's what I said.
Man. Whoa. What are you moving? Furniture, bro? You moving a couch or something? What is that sound?
That was me, I'm sorry.
Man, you just moved the house.
You got some stuff in the background. That's my bad, dog. I was sitting at my card table, but I'm about to move to my desk. My bad.
You good, man. Hey, it happens, man. But all right, so what are we talking about? Because it's been a minute since I've been on here.
Yo, Lee was just straight up like carrying a love seat through like the living room door or something, like with like one hand, and then the other hand was like on the show. That was crazy. Lee, you gotta live safe, bro. You gotta like, you know, call a lifeline sometimes. Say, hey, man, this thing's like 400 pounds. I'm, you know, I got this, but I don't want to hurt myself.
Hey, bro, I don't move furniture no more, man. I call somebody now.
He's like, I sub out for that. I ain't doing none of that business.
Yes, sir.
But nah. So the thing is this is that you know, I was actually so Rodney, you know how me and Lee we write for the Scrap. I don't know if you've noticed that we. I mean, I'm sure you have, but just in case you didn't, we both write for a publication called the Scrap. We posted on Twitter a lot of our articles and stuff like that. And I think Lee does a mix. He kind of does some MMA writing and he does some wrestling, WWE stuff, and different topics on that side. Yeah, he kind of moves in and out of both worlds with that, which is dope. And that led me to one of my questions I actually wanted to ask. And it's good that you're here, that both of you guys can, we both have your perspective on this. Because one of our other writers from the Scrap, he actually wrote an article, and I was actually reading a little bit of it earlier today. And I forget who it was off the top of my head. I shouted him out, but I really don't remember who it was. I just like started reading the article, and it was about AEW. The focus of his article is, I don't know, like I might butcher the exact like headline that he has, but it was like having to do with WWE and AEW, which I like relatively know what that is, but like I really don't know what that is. So like glad you guys are here to like break it down for me. And he was just saying that the article was like, you know, a lot about how can you know, WWE like keep up with like AEW, because they have a lot of momentum lately. And then two, like what can AEW learn from TNA, companies like TNA's mistakes, where they took a lot of, like TNA used to really take a lot of talent, ex-WWE superstars, and bring them onto the TNA roster. So like they were qualifying that as a mistake and saying like AEW could learn a thing or two from companies like TNA and WCW, you know, companies that have failed. What can they learn from those companies' mistakes, and how can WWE keep up with AEW's momentum? So that was just like two things that I want to ask you guys about. How do you feel about that?
Do you want to answer or should I? All
right, cool.
I'll let you start.
Ronnie,
AEW, all right, do you remember Cody Rhodes?
Yeah, I know.
All right. Cody Rhodes, along with a tag team called the Young Bucks, probably the one of the top best tag teams at the moment right now, plus Kenny Omega, probably the top three best wrestler right now, came together to form a brand called All Elite Wrestling. So far, it's been pretty successful. A lot of things they've been doing is what WWE hasn't, even though they did a great job this past week. So I'll give them a slide on that one. Besides that, AEW is just trying to give us a different alternate wrestling show where people love wrestling. And it's been pretty successful. Their first show, All Out, before they decided to do a full brand, sold out in, 30 minutes? Their second show sold out in 4 minutes.
Wow.
15 minutes, correction. Their third show sold out in 4 minutes. So a lot of fans definitely care and support this show. And even though they don't have the full weekly show aired out yet, it will October the 2nd. They have this weekly YouTube show that they've been doing for a couple of years called Being the Elite. And it's a very fun show. Besides that, so far the shows that they've had has been a lot of great wrestling.
so far my favorite tag team besides the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks and SCU is Jungle Boy and Luchadores, even though the Black Aura looks pretty cool. Also a thing that you brought up about them learning mistakes and getting old wrestlers from WWE, they did grab a couple. Of course, they got Chris Jericho, but that been the case. Chris Jericho was a part of being with them from day one. They picked up Dean Ambrose, who now goes by the name of John Moxley. They picked up Ty Dillinger, who now goes by the name of Sean Spears. But they seem very, very happy so far. But at the end of the day, it's a sprint and not a marathon. You got to see how things are going after. But so far, everything's been going well. We've been seeing a lot of great matches. But also, they haven't really been focusing on signing old WWE superstars. They've been getting a lot of people that I've never heard of that now that I see them, I love them. And MJF, he's a hilarious heel. I think he won Stone Cold's podcast, had one of the funniest things ever. He called him Steven, and I think he threw water in his face. Jungle Boy and Luchadores is great. They signed this new team called Private Party. And, you know, I got to support Black Excellence. But besides the race, like, those guys are a really entertaining tag team, et cetera. Like, so far, AEW is looking really, really good, and I'm excited to see where they're going. And I'm excited to see what they do in their last pay-per-view before they do a full weekly show all out on August 31st. Hopefully CM Punk will be joining because it's been, like, what, 6 years since he's been in a wrestling ring? I love to see what happens. But that's all I can really say at the moment for AEW. But so far, the sky's the limit. So I'm looking forward to see what they do.
So,
how you feel, Lee?
I don't think AEW will be able to compete with WWE, but they shouldn't look to compete with WWE. They should
NXT,
look to compete
right?
with NXT. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should look to compete with NXT because NXT is a true wrestling show. It's not, whereas Raw and SmackDown are entertainment shows that happen to have wrestling in it, NXT is a wrestling show that actually has little talking, less vignettes, less interviews and stuff like that. It's all about the in-ring action. And I think AEW is going to follow that format instead of following the format of SmackDown and Raw. Actually, I wrote an article asking, comparing, could AEW compete with WWE? But it's not about competing with WWE. It's about competing with NXT, which is one of the shows within WWE, because they'll never be able to bring in the viewership at SmackDown and Raw because you got so many diehard WWE fans that will tune in to Raw and SmackDown and probably tape AEW. So I like what AEW is doing. I think one thing they definitely do that WWE doesn't do anymore is their matches are, you get drawn into the matches. The matches are so good. The action is so good. They'll get better with the production part as far as how it looks on TV. They'll get better with that in time. But as long as they put on quality matches, they will get viewership. The one problem I think they will run into is, like, for their first show on October the 2nd, I think they're having it in a basketball arena. I wouldn't do that coming out the block. I probably would have it in probably a smaller type venue. Don't sell out that venue in D.C. It's going to look kind of weird on TV, because they're not going to be able to, like, really zoom in and get aerial shots of the fans because there's going to be a lot of empty seats. So I would have probably got a smaller venue to start off with just so you could pack the house and have everybody really into it. But at the same time, like that they're not bringing in a bunch of retreads from WWE. They're using a lot of guys on the indie scene so that, you know, fans can grow with those guys. Like, in WWE, right now, we're supposed to be growing with Aleister Black, growing with Ricochet, growing with Heavy Machinery, growing with the Viking Raiders. But every week we're forced to see Brock Lesnar. You know, you're getting Paul Heyman shoved down your throat. Like this week, you know, Raw was a good show all the way up to the Brock Lesnar thing. Brock Lesnar really does nothing for the product of WWE, but really make the fans mad because fans have no respect for part-timers. We understand part-timers are supposed to be the Royal Rumble and maybe a match at WrestleMania. They do not
or
need to be champs.
At the end of the day, these guys, big names like those are money grabbers. And money events are the SummerSlams, the Royal Rumbles, the WrestleManias, and maybe the Survivor Series too.
Yeah, but I think another thing AEW definitely has to work on to definitely bring more eyes to their product is they need to work on their women's division. Their women's division, I really couldn't tell you, outside of Awesome Kong and Brandi Rhodes, I really couldn't tell you nobody else that they have. They're bringing Ali in too for TNA, but I think you should fall back on the women's division until you actually have at least 8 to 10 women that you can showcase that fans can actually get to know and love. Like at NXT, we got to know Bayley, we got to know Sasha, we got to know Charlotte. We get to know Shayna Baszler, Candice, Io Shirai. Yeah, we know you get to grow up with them and see them progress in their career. Whereas I think with AEW, I think they want to have a women's division, but you need to establish a women's division, which is a big difference.
That's true. When Lee was talking about like the great level of wrestling, quick question, T. You remember Goldust?
Yeah, of course.
All right, you know that's Cody Rhodes' brother, right?
No, I didn't know that.
He's Cody Rhodes' brother, right? All right, what if I told you he left WWE, put the black and gold tights away to put on black and red and gold, and now goes by the name Dustin Rhodes, and then in their third show, Double or Nothing, him and Cody probably had one of the best matches of the year.
And that was for AEW?
Yes.
Yep.
Wow.
Now, Lee, you've been watching wrestling a lot longer than I have. And I've known Goldust for a minute. When was the last time you seen a really, really good Goldust match? Not saying Goldust can't wrestle. There you go. Why did it take now all the way to 2019 for us to see this? This was the best Goldust, Dustin, Red Dust, whichever name you want to go with. This was the best one I've ever seen in my entire life. After that match, the first thing that came to mind was, was WWE that bad?
I have to say, I watched that match, and that match was a great match. I didn't know Dustin still had that in the tank, but he put on a hell of a performance, man. And it was like when you was watching that match, if that match didn't stir up some kind of emotion in you, then you really wasn't a wrestling fan. Wrestling ain't for you. Because the way they was going at it, And then at the end, the way Cody was like, you know, I want you to be my tag team partner. Man, that match was everything. That match was everything. That was probably top five. That's the top five match of the year so far. And if you throw the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks match in there.
Oh, that was crazy.
That's probably
going to
be a top 10 match of the year because that match was off the chain. Man, they had so many. They had so many good spots in that match. And AEW, man, they're going to be a problem for, I ain't going to say a major problem for WWE, but they will be a problem for WWE because they will start to poach probably some disgruntled WWE fans who are kind of fed up with what's going on. So I see a lot of them gravitating over to AEW. And also, I think WWE can learn some things from AEW. Start taking better care of your performers.
So my initial question was like about about that article, like what things could AEW learn from what could AEW learn from, you know, companies like TNA's past mistakes with like recruiting too many WWE stars, but you actually answered that, and it sounds like they really are finding a lot of their own talent. So that, I feel like that's a really big plus for them to be able to branch off, you know, and really do your own thing. Like when I think about that, and then when I remember watching TNA Impact, because I watched it a lot when AJ Styles was there, and what I remember from that was like seeing a lot of the same guys from WWE come over, and that actually, Lee, that kind of sounds like Bellator. And that's why Rodney, the thing is this, is that, and I'm not going to bring this into like a thing about MMA, I'm just making a quick analogy about this. The UFC is to Bellator as the UFC is to another company called Bellator, or Bellator is to UFC as TNA was to WWE, where they took a lot of their talent, and then it was like they're pretty much promoting another company's talent more than they are promoting their natural talent, people that they actually brought up, which is what Bellator does now. And that's what AEW needs to not do now, business-wise, is to actually try to make your biggest stars be your guys that you found. Like all those names that you were naming off, and that those couple tag teams that you said that they found, they should try to make those guys their biggest stars, not the guys, because every time you think about their biggest guys, it's like, oh, he came from WWE. So people really just thinking back to WWE when they think of this guy. But the good thing about about Dustin Rhodes is that he actually is portraying a new character now. So he's not really Goldust anymore.
It's the same character, just without the.
He ain't doing the weird stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because that whole thing was kind of getting played out after a while. I think that's why, because I remember a certain point,
well,
and this wasn't
he got older. Like it's like a 49-year-old still rubbing his chest and whispering the air saying, "Cold."
All
right, dog. All right.
Yeah, it started to get weird, because it was like you could see, like physically, like just looking at his body after a while, like. Pause is that you could see that he was getting a lot older, and that's how it felt. Like when I was watching it when I was a lot younger, I remember seeing Goldust like would enter into a lot of matches in like these random ways. You know what I mean? And it was like, okay, we can see what you were aging then, and then like after a long time, it was like, okay, like they're still bringing Goldust out here, like this dude, because you could see that he was a lot older, and it, like you said, it kind of got like creepy, like the whole gimmick was just starting to get really played out and kind of like creepy and weird. So yeah, that it's good that he kind of gave it, there's some change happening with that, Even though you said it's the same character, but you said he's wearing red and black now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool that he at least kind of changed the look of it so it's something different. But like I said, though, that, I think that's good that they're not – I hope that they can do whatever they want, but I hope if they want to be able to compete and truly compete, not just be like a carbon copy of another business, try to make your biggest stars the people that you found, not – like Bellator with the UFC, where it's like every Bellator event, Lee, is like, okay, your biggest fight is just UFC guys. Like, this isn't even really, like, how
yeah.
come you don't try to use your own talent? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like them doing that, really, that's the only time they really got people watching is when you have UFC guys, and that's kind of sad. Like, but that's also because they don't promote their guys. Like, they put all the promotion in all these big events, you know, Madison Square Garden. Your biggest guy is Chael Sonnen, who's a UFC guy. So what does that really say about your company? And Machida, like, those are all UFC guys. So they're selling your card, and that's kind of sad. Like, even McDonald, that's another UFC guy, and he's one of their biggest stars. So that's really sad. Like, Bellator needs to work on their own talent. That's what I'm just saying for this company. I hope they try to boost the talent that they found. I think that's the way they can find the most success.
But the one thing they can do on October the 2nd that I think will really boost their viewership on October the 2nd on their first national TV show, I think they need to crown all their champions on that show. You got to crown your tag team champions, your world champion. Maybe if you got a mid-level belt, crown that person. Even though I'm not a fan of their women's division so far, you can crown your women's champion also. So basically, if you
I hope they get a triple tag championship too. Honestly,
six man tag.
Yeah.
I think with them, that would definitely bring a whole lot of viewership to that show. If you make that show that meaningful, whereas you crown all your champions on that show, because right now they have no champions at AEW. So basically,
they will on August 31st.
That's when the Moxley, the Jericho Hangman Page match.
Yeah.
Are they doing the tag champ on that card too?
The one for the AAA, the Lucha Brothers and the Bucks again for the ladder match. But besides that, we won't have any other tag announcements coming soon.
See, that's why I think the August 2nd show, you got to crown a champion or multiple champions on that show. I can see you holding out to October 31st for the world championship because I think they already set that date for that match. But you will bring so many eyes to the product because that will be a meaningful show. And that will be a show that everybody can say, oh, man, I watched the very first AEW show where – the Young Bucks beat the Lucha Brothers for the tag team championship on cable TV or whatever. And Jim Ross was just on top of his game. I mean, you can have so many meaningful and memorable moments for things you can put on that October 2nd show.
Right. I always agree. And back to what Keys was saying as far as, like, building your own, like, that was kind of like because if we're being honest, Lee, if you remember, we was getting mad rumors on AEW signing mad people from WWE. We were hearing Goldberg. We were possibly hearing The Undertaker. We were hearing Randy Orton possibly. But then the reality kicked in. It was signing like people that wrestled that a lot of people didn't know. And some were complaining, like, who is this? I don't know this person. And I'm like, that's the point. They're supposed to help build these people or give them a platform for you to know them and see how great they are. Now, I love MJF. Now, I love Private Party. Now, I love Jungle Boy and Luchadores. Now I want to see how far the Black Order is going to go with this tag team tournament.
like either way, I'm seeing newer and newer great wrestlers from all of these other platforms that we probably never heard of. I've heard a Will Ospreay. I've definitely heard Jay White and any other members of the Young Bucks and from New Japan Ring of Honor. I never heard Kip Sabin until now. I never heard MJF until now. I never heard of Joey Janela until now. He had a great match with John Moxley / Dean Ambrose. Like, at the end of the day, it's about how you build them. Because at the end of the day, everybody starts off at the bottom as a nobody. No one knew who John Cena was at the time. Now look, one of the biggest stars ever. No one knew who Triple H was. Now look, the COO.
No one knew
who Stone Cold was, etc.
That's an excellent point because, you know, people just like in anything, people don't want to try new things. Like, and that's not even like a critique. Like, I even have this tendency in myself when we don't know what something is and it's brand new. Like, we're reluctant to try it because we don't know if it's gonna, like, you know, be worth our time to like invest into learning about that thing and like finding out what its talents are and what like what it can do or if it's entertaining. Like, people, you know, don't want to take the time. Like, they want to listen to like the, you know, the first song on the album or the first two songs, but they don't want to listen to the whole album or just an artist that they don't know. Like, if you get recommended a new artist, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people out there that won't listen to a new artist, like, unless they get a referral to it from somebody who they really or is a good friend with. They won't listen to a new artist. But it's a similar concept as that, where it's like, you know, you can't expect all these big signings. Like, you know, they didn't sign The Undertaker, but what did you expect AEW to do? Just try to take all WWE's talent? Like, we're going to come out with our own talent, and the way that you find out if you like them is from checking out what they can do in the ring. And like you said with John Cena, like, there was a time when no one knew who John Cena was. Like, I remember, I forget if I was there live or if I saw it on TV, but I definitely watched it. I remember John Cena's it was either his first ever match in WWE or it was like one of his like first like two or three matches, and it was against Kurt Angle.
That was his first match against Kurt Angle. Ruthless aggression. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I forget if I was at that event live or if I saw it on TV. I might have been there live, but I remember Kurt Angle did like an open invitational. I forget what they called it. He did something like that where it's like anybody.
Open challenge.
Yeah. So he did the open challenge, and he said, and he's in the ring, and he's doing this whole talking segment, and we know Kurt Angle was like really good on the mic for a long time. Like, I thought he was such a good heel, but he wasn't like Edge like heel. Like, he I liked him. I never did this like Kurt Angle, but he could be the heel. And then John Cena come out, and nobody knew who that was. I remember John Cena come out, and I think John, I forget if they had John Cena lost the match, right? I think John Cena lost the match.
He lost, but he definitely put on a good show and won everybody's respect in the background.
That was the thing, and that was one of those moments. Like, and those are the perfect times, like, to promote somebody. This is similar to like what me and Lee say about like UFC fight nights, where it's like, how about you have an up-and-coming guy fight in the main event versus a well-known guy? Because when you do that, that promotes the lesser-known guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wants to see one of their – either somebody they know but they don't watch, or somebody that they always watch versus somebody they don't know, because they'll watch it off the strength of that one side that they do know. And then through that, like in the Kurt Angle and John Cena match – you know, he might not get over on Kurt Angle, but he still showed you guys his skills, and then you know him for the next time. So that's the thing. Like, at that time, like you said, Rodney, Cena was a nobody, but then now it's like everybody, you know, finally, you know, they gave him a chance. It didn't take that long. Like, everyone saw he was pretty likable. And then now it's like he's one of the he's probably one of the biggest stars. Yeah, exactly. He's the face of WWE for a long time, probably like 15 years or so, 10, 15 years. And I mean, I'm kind of, maybe I'm biased. I think he's one of the best wrestlers ever, but that, you know, that's my opinion. But still, is that, that's the thing, is a lot of guys, it's like that. Triple H too. Like, nobody knew who Triple H was at a certain point, but then no one would know how great that he was going to be. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the same thing with any of these guys. Like, people got to just give stuff a chance. Like you said, like, you watch those guys you named off, and now it's like you can't wait to watch them again. You know, but of course, when you first looked at it, you're like, who the hell is that? You know what I mean? Now you watch it, and you're like, oh, wow, like, I'm excited to see his next match. Oh, I think he should be on that card, and he should do this. But, like, that's just, you know, a lot of people, they got to just give stuff a chance.
I think with Cena had good timing, because what WWE was transitioning from, they was transitioning from the Attitude Era to they wanted kids to be their, they wanted kids to be their primary niche audience, and John Cena fit that just perfect. Because, you know, he was coming out, he was rapping, you know, he had the loud colors on, and he fit exactly what they wanted to do at that time. Because the era before Cena, that era to me was probably one of the best eras in wrestling, because you had Stone Cold, The Rock, DX, Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys. You had that era where, you know, they was basically carrying the company through their words, through promos, through good matches, and it was just a good era of wrestling to me. And I think WCW forced them to do that because WCW was winning the Monday nights, because WCW Nitro was killing them in the ratings because of what they was doing over there. So, but you know, man, wrestling is one of the things that, if you're a fan of wrestling, you willing to watch a new promotion. You know, you willing to give them a chance because you want to see different stuff, different people. And like today, I still record Ring of Honor. I watched the highlights from Impact. I even started watching some little cheap wrestling show out in California called Hollywood Wrestling. It's corny, but it's funny to me.
I saw some clips of it earlier.
Yeah. And, you know, man, wrestling is just, with AEW, it gives you an option to watch something else and to start following different characters and see the progression of wrestling outside of WWE. And that's what I like about them. And I like that former wrestlers are actually running it, so they know, you know, the good and the bad of the industry. And right now, AEW is doing stuff that WWE should do as far as medical, taking care of their talent, as far as paying for their medical expenses, stuff like that. And I think a lot of wrestlers, when their contract is up with WWE, someone will be able to join AEW, but I think AEW will minimize the amount of people they migrate from WWE to AEW, no down with that.
Yo, Lee, you just did a perfect segue for me just now, or the point I was about to make too, along with Keys bringing up everybody wanting the old style, because sometimes based on timing, like it could do more harm than good. Keys.
What up, bro?
You know The Undertaker and Goldberg, right?
Yeah.
I want you to guess how old they are.
They're in their 50s.
Damn, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Give it away. I'd say Goldberg's probably 56, and Undertaker's probably like 59.
No, dang, goodness. The Undertaker's 54, and I think Goldberg's 52. Goodness. Like, they're not young.
Yeah,
that old, man.
54 and 52.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
All right. Keys, hilarious. All right, what if I told you
Goldberg
WWE
looking old
to start
Oh, yeah. Well, look. Hey,
Undertaker, too. Speaking of the go ahead.
Look, what if I told you WWE booked a match between Undertaker and Goldberg earlier this year, and they almost killed they almost killed each other, and I don't mean that as in a good way. Like Goldberg tried to do the jackhammer, but wasn't able to do it. No matter how great he looks, so he accidentally did the brain buster, almost broke Undertaker's neck. Undertaker tried to do a tombstone driver and almost broke Goldberg's neck. Like
what?
Lee, you saw it live. Tell me how bad the match was.
So many botch moves. I thought I was watching Bayley, man, because Bayley botches a lot of too. But Undertaker and Goldberg look absolutely horrible. And I think if it was anybody outside of the Undertaker, that match would go down as probably one of the worst matches in wrestling history. Outside of Brock Lesnar versus the Undertaker match when they were both on the card. Now, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar when they were both leaving WWE. But, man, I thought Goldberg had actually broke Undertaker neck, man, because he messed that up so bad. It was like I had to turn my head. I was like, oh, my God.
So,
yeah, man, it was terrible.
And it wasn't because like he did a simple mistake, because after a while your body could only do so much at such an age. Like these guys are in their 50s. Yeah, they're still in great shape, but after a while, like come on, like you look at the science, you can understand why it was hard for him to be able to pull the jackknife. So he accidentally did the brain buster because he couldn't hold Undertaker out for so long. And plus, Undertaker is tall. So that's even more weight for you to hold. So after a while, it's like, good Lord, I can't hold this. So, hey, I think Goldberg busted himself open before the match, slamming his head to a locker. Like, that whole match was chaos.
Yep, sure
plus, it was hot in there. Plus, it was hot in there from what I heard. Like, that whole match was chaos. And that's not the first time. Late last year, they did DX versus the Brothers of Destruction. Shawn Michaels' first match back since the classic WrestleMania 26 match with Undertaker. And I heard Shawn Michaels was the best wrestler in the match, but not in a good way because the match was horrible.
Yeah. I think, only thing you got to realize about those Saudi Arabia cards is the WWE builds a show around who the Saudis want to see. And the Saudis will tell them who they want to see, and the WWE will try to build a card around them. I think WWE will probably get away from that mold because of what happened with The Undertaker and Goldberg, because those Saudis, they like the old school guys. They like the old school wrestlers. You know, they want to see Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker. You know, they want to see all them. Nah, you can't do that no more, man. You got to get them. They got to grow up with the new guys, man. You got to get them the Aleister Blacks, the Ricochets, the AJ Styles. You got to put them guys in there, the Samoa Joes. You can't keep trotting the Undertaker, Goldberg, Triple H, Brock Lesnar. Now they bring a Trish Stratus back to have a match against Charlotte.
I'm not mad at that match, actually, because that's also even though Charlotte doesn't need the push, that's like pushing a little old school versus new school era match against each other, kind of like The Rock versus John Cena. So I'm not really mad at that match.
To be honest, I am. Because Charlotte is the best female wrestler in the world right now. And you mean to tell me you can't get her in a meaningful match at SummerSlam. So you're going to brave, even though Trish looked good last night, Trish looked hella good last night. Man, she looked like she still can go, and I'm quite sure she's going to get in there and do her thing. But really, you got Charlotte against Trish. Why not bring Charlotte out there talking trash and you cue up Shayna Baszler's music and Shayna come out and be like, how about the queen versus the queen of spades? Man, that's dope.
Well, that would be fire. I didn't even think of that. That's
what I would do. You know, that's something I would do. I would, that's because then you bridging NXT with WWE and you got two basically good wrestlers going at it. But, man, you know, man, wrestling is one of those things where as viewers, we're not going to love everything they do. And we probably hate most of the things they do. But you know what? Every week we'll be back, man. We'll be back to get more.
And hope that they do better the next week.
Yep.
So that's one thing. I just hope that because at the end of the day, Saudi Arabia shows are not. At the end of the day, that's for the money and the quick viewer grab. But after a while, you can only do that for so long, especially when you have new talents that have star potential, and NXT stars, when they get pushed to the main roster, it feels like a hell of a downgrade. And I understand, yeah, like, you're rookies, it's a new world here, you got to earn your stripes. But, dear God, some of them barely even make it on the show. Buddy Murphy still hasn't had a match yet. Buddy Murphy.
I wrote about that.
Buddy Murphy last year had one of the best comebacks of the year because he went from being just a two-time NXT tag champion, but not really caring. I didn't know who the guy was until he started beefing with Cedric Alexander in 205 and had a hell of a match with him. He had a great match with Mustafa Ali. He looks great and shredded. When he got drafted to SmackDown, I was like, yes, this guy's going to be great. But we still haven't seen him once, maybe twice on SmackDown, once on TV. I'm still waiting to see him in a match. I want to see him versus Mustafa Ali again on SmackDown. I want to see him against Shinsuke Nakamura for the Intercontinental Championship. I want to see him versus Aleister Black, maybe Cesaro. I want to see Buddy Murphy. Same thing for Cedric Alexander. I'm glad he's starting to get some spotlight now. But before this, he went from running, only losing maybe one or two matches in 2018 with the Cruiserweight Championship, to just running after R-Truth for the 24/7 Championship. Now, yeah, he's getting a little bit more love, but until last night at least, it was just a lucky roll up and just get him get beat up a couple times. Besides
Hold
that,
on.
Like. It,
No, finish what you say. Then I have a question. Finish what you're gonna say.
Okay. All right. And before that, like, Lee, you remember that Gary the Goat thing that they did a couple weeks ago? That they had Cedric in. Lee,
what was that?
Remember that? You remember the Gary the Goat thing that they had with Cedric Alexander?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it was great, but the ending was stupid. And then they did the reveal, like, he won. But this don't push him, because now it makes him look like a loser. Because, yeah, you wowed us for a second, and then out of nowhere, Drew McIntyre kicked your skull through the roof, and you guys lost. But you guys did the reveal like y'all won.
Yeah. But you know, man,
like, that looks crazy.
But that, and that, yo, that's what I wanted to, yo, Bronnie, that's what I wanted to ask you about too, because I don't know if it was one of our writers from the Scrap that wrote an article about the 24/7 championship, or if it was somewhere else, some other publication that had been posting an article about it, but it was like, how did it said like, how did the 24/7 championship go from like a almost a joke to being like the most talked about title in the WWE? Is that like a, is that really big?
Yes, yes. Actually, for two, because of two people alone, mostly one person, but because of two people, Dallas Maverick and the star of the show are freaking Truth. Our Truth is hilarious. Some way, somehow he knows how to make it work. But Dallas Maverick has definitely been entertaining with it. For some reason, our Truth having the 24/7 champ. Well, he doesn't have it now, but our Truth having the 24/7 championship boosted everybody up. For some reason, Jinder Mahal became more entertaining before he messed up his knee. Dallas Maverick, he's been, well, I've been new about him since Rockstar Spud, but Dallas Maverick's been hilarious. Him with his wife, this has been pretty kind of promoting his wife. I've been in love with his wife ever since I've seen her in the wedding gown. it's pushing a lot of people, even though, like, there's some wrestlers that you watch at the end of the day, the 24/7 title is kind of like a jobber title. And you see wrestlers running after a title that she really don't want to see running after. It's like, come on, Bobby Roode. Like, I've seen you run things in TNA as an X Factor. Like, no, I don't want to see this. Like, Cedric, no, you were just, it was just the age of Alexander back in 2018 with the Cruiserweight Championship. You don't need to be running after this. No. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see guys like running after some wrestlers. I don't want to see run after 24/7 championship.
What's like the purpose of it? Like what's like the merit behind it? Like everything has like a like each title is supposed to have like kind of like almost like a weight class. It's not really a weight class, but back in the day, like the Cruiserweight Championship used to just it always be like the small like the physically smaller guys. Chavo Guerrero and stuff would be fighting for it. So, like, is that this one too? Is for the but smaller
popularity? Pretty much the same thing as far as the weight class, but different level of. All right, remember the NXT division in TNA?
Yeah.
The exact same thing, pretty much, but with a weight class.
But the way they should have did the 24/7 championship, they should have named it 24/7. They should have just made it a TV belt. Basically, on every episode, on Monday Night Raw, on SmackDown, or even NXT, somebody can challenge for the TV championship every week. That way, it's meaningful. You get to see a belt defended every week. But with this 24/7 thing,
it's pretty cool because you're defending it everywhere. Jinder Mahal and Troop were going back and forth with it at the airport. Troop pinned
on the airplane.
Jinder Mahal on the plane. It's hilarious. Like some of it was hilarious. Like the golf course thing was hilarious. Like when Truth won the title back and got dragged off the golf cart, like with white shoes on, like it was just hilarious. But I see what you mean though. It's still hilarious.
It's funny because you know you never know what's gonna happen with the 24/7 championship because you know it's always on the line, so they say. But at the same time. If you made it where it's defended in a regular manner, instead of you could be in the bathroom and somebody come behind you and roll you up, 1, 2, 3, and they the new champ. It's just stuff like that. I
that
just find kind of yeah.
You
know,
got
kinda,
that
I'm
as
like,
wedding.
Yeah, I know. You know, I'm like, you know, okay. So, but it's a good concept because I think it's something that the crowd is looking forward to. Because every week, you know, something crazy going to happen with that belt. But, you know, I just think for me, they just should have made it like a TV belt and it's defended on SmackDown, Raw, maybe even NXT, you know, something like that, where they're so chaotic. And you give up the lower card guys or little known guys a chance to get shine. Like when Cesaro was a nobody in WWE until he started getting in all these good matches going against John Cena, you know, in the U.S. Open Challenge. And then, you know, he was going against Sheamus and stuff like
that.
He's
a great wrestler.
So,
great wrestler.
So yo, that 3 out of 4 falls match that they did?
Yeah,
when they went best
3 out of 5 match series.
Yes, that series between Cesaro and Sheamus was crazy.
Well, they didn't it become a best of 7 series after that?
Yeah, it was the best. They went to 7 matches. Then it became a tag team called the Bar.
Wait, so did either? I remember that. I was watching that best of 7 at that time. I don't even know why, but I was watching it. And I remember just thinking, like, wow, this is cool. These are making really good matches, but I'm just surprised they're doing 7 matches. Like, and so did either guy win the game 7, or did they just, like, was it like a draw and they just became a tag team?
I want to say Sheamus won.
Hey,
I think Sheamus
was the end result was Sheamus and Cesaro being a tag team. That's all I remember.
But then Mick Foley put them together as a tag team.
Yeah.
And they ended up running the tag team division for about a year and a half. But the 24/7 belt. But the 24/7 belt, like Ronnie said, it should be a way to showcase lower level guys. Like me and you said about UFC fight nights for, you know, top 15 guys that are out right outside the top 10. I would use that, like the 24/7, I would use that, like right now, a guy like EC3 should probably be the 24/7 champion because they really don't know what to do with him, but he's such a talent. I would put it on him, and then you just have standard matches. But you know, that ain't what they want to do. They want to make it more about they want the comedy aspect of it, which has really been fun. But I just think that's going to get old after a while. And so once it get old, what you going to do? So I'm just looking at the big picture and the long term.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I 100% agree. Anything else, kids? Because y'all probably got moved to MMA. So,
no. We're not doing MMA tonight.
Oh, word? Oh, I could be on the show the whole time. Then. Oh, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be great. Right,
bro, it's been the whole time. It's been the whole time.
Yeah, pretty much. Not thinking about it.
Yeah, we better wrap up in a minute right here.
Okay.
Hey, hold on, real quick, Keith. Hey, Rodney,
yeah,
guess what I'm going to see Friday?
I got to hear this. What's up?
I'm going to see Master P on Friday. The No Limit
Reunion.
I'm going to that Friday. Yes, sir. We're also hyped about that joke.
You got to turn up for me over there, man. That's legit.
Lee's about to be pulling up at that show, sipping the brown drink.
Boy, they lucky I got rid of my fake No Limit chain. I would have been a tank dog rolling up for that joke.
All right, Lee, I got to ask this. This is a fool. All right, I got to ask you this. All right, so how do you feel about Kofi Kingston's title reign so far?
You know what? I feel like WWE is setting him up. They set him up to be a great champion, but they also set him up to be – this will be his one and only title run.
I hope
basically, if you look at it, he's defending the belt, like, every week. He's in, like, a championship match, like, every week. Where has the last time a champion been – defending their belt every week? It's been a long time.
When the GM was against them, like a CM Punk versus John Laurinaitis type scenario, something like that?
Yeah. So every week he's defending the belt against somebody. Even though he didn't defend the belt against AJ Styles this week, it was still a championship caliber match. So
well, hell yeah.
I think when, and then they got him going against Randy Orton. I really don't know how this is going to shake out because of their past history, and also because of Randy Orton's contract situation, because he still hasn't signed his contract, his new contract yet. So would the WWE put the belt on him to secure that he signs his contract, or would they let Kofi avenge his loss to Randy from back in the day? But I got to say, Kofi has put on some four star matches here lately on TV. And, you know, I wish they would add some variance to his game, whereas, you know, because it started off with him being hot, and then he get beat down a lot, and then he'll come back, and there's Trouble in Paradise 1, 2, 3. I wish they would, like, do something else as far as his matches. Maybe have Kofi be the aggressor in most of the match, and then, you know, have the bad guy take over for, like, a short spell, and then you have Kofi win it. But I'm proud that, you know, they got the belt on him and a New Day right now, because shows
New Day's on fire right now.
It just shows that, you know, the crowd is into it. I think they're promoting the project to a different audience now, as far as kids of color, an audience of color. And Kofi is doing a good job, man. I would say I'm shocked, but I'm not, because you ever see him like in ladder matches, over the top rope matches and stuff like that. He's been a good performer. He can do daredevil like stuff.
Of course.
And you know, I'm just happy that they actually running with him, man. But I didn't think they would run with him, but I think it was so much pressure from the WWE universe that they had to put the belt on them at WrestleMania, or they would have lost the opportunity to really do something great.
And I agree that at the end of the day, like, as far as like us just being happy that they're actually doing this for Kofi, it just, cause at the end of the day, like, cause y'all remember I was like one of the front runners rooting for this, cause I've been supporting Kofi since like 2010, but it's more than just the race thing, because I want everybody to have an equal shot. It's not like, eventually Kevin Owens gonna need that title soon, because he's starting to get on the hot streak, and I want everybody to get an equal shot, equal opportunity, not just Kofi Kingston, but Big E Langston too, maybe Xavier Woods. I want to see Kevin Owens get a title shot. Hopefully, Samoa Joe finally win a WWE championship. Same thing with Finn Balor maybe in the future. Hell, maybe Bray Wyatt, etc. I want to see everybody winning. It's not just me being, even though I always do the Black Excellence thing, it's not about just me being biased in my race. I want everybody that I feel works hard to get the same opportunity and the same success, if not more. I'm just as hyped seeing Cedric Alexander wrestle, seeing Buddy Murphy wrestle just as much as I am as my boy Cedric Alexander. My top five, besides The Rock, going to have a lot of black people. Besides The Rock, number two is John Cena. He's from Boston, Massachusetts. Number three is AJ Styles. He's from Gainesville, Georgia. Number four is Stone Cold. He's from Texas. Number five is CM Punk. He's from Chicago, Illinois. Hell, even my sixth man is Shawn Michaels. I don't know where he's from, but it's clear that he's not black. Like, either way, I want to see everybody succeed, and that's a great wrestler, get their shots, opportunities, and chances. That's all I want.
Yo, so I got to cut you off right there. We already went over time.
I know.
We're going to close it out right there. And then, yo, Rodney, thanks for coming on, bro. I always appreciate you jumping on and talking with us.
Thanks for having me. We could have went all night, but I understand.
Yeah. No doubt. We know. We could do another one, too. We might even just do the next one, too, because, you know, I think we had a great conversation here. I really like that. And actually, y'all taught me a lot of stuff that I wasn't aware of. So I'm glad I had caught a glimpse of that article earlier, which had made me think of the question. So I'm glad that
I ended up bringing that up, and y'all told me a lot of stuff that I really wasn't aware of. I might have to check out one of those AEW shows pretty soon.
I need to just look up the best of AEW. Matter of fact, FaceTime me later. I'll show you some of their highlights.
All right, word, bro. Thanks for jumping on with us. We'll have you on again really soon.
Definitely. Y'all be safe, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right,
have
man.
A great
take
night,
care,
bro.
You too, Keith. Have fun at the Master P concert.
You know it.
Ha ha. Hi, bro. See you soon. All right, so yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for Lee and Keith's Real Talk 106 tonight. You know, we wanted to change things up and do it a little differently here. Like, we usually talk about certain things, usually talk about UFC and stuff like that, but I wanted to change it up and see what, you know, our guests wanted to talk about. And we talked about some WWE stuff, some AEW stuff, and a whole bunch of things within that realm. So that was really cool. And we're gonna take a step back and think, you know, maybe we start talking about some doing more shows like this and talking about some other topics, different topics that we don't usually talk about. So maybe we will get more creative and I think we'll definitely do another show like this real soon. So if you'd like to rest on talk, we could definitely do this real soon. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. That's pretty much all I got. Just stay positive, enjoy your life. The way you see the world is pretty much based on what's going on in your head. So you could either, laugh in the rain, or you could be really sad in the rain. It depends on the way your perspective is on life. It's not really that, it's not really nothing too far beyond that. So stay positive and keep a good headspace. That's all I got. Lee, close it out.
Yeah, man. I was definitely shocked tonight. I didn't know we'd be talking about wrestling, but if you want our listeners, you want to know more about wrestling, go to the Twitter, go to the Scrap News, and there are plenty of writers on our team that write about wrestling, to include myself. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to my man Keys. Like always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Peace.